This is a train on the night. And now it's time for you to go. You know you're out of your life, boy. You walk this world like you're a ghost. Yeah, I'm just coming through the needles.
Hey, 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 everybody out there. It's another Tuesday. And you are, in fact, listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And who do we have in the studio again?
Oh, my gosh. We know you loved her so much last week that we brought her back. It's Nadia.
I'm back, y'all. Hey.
Another day, another dollar.
I like that you threw a little twang at the end of that, the y'all part.
The y'all?
Yep, yeah. Well, my roommate in college is a Southern girl, so I've adopted y'all from her. It's very useful. Better than use guys or something.
I like having like words where I can just sort of say to the general like audience or the generals like y'all or there's a phrase I always heard whenever I heard like celebrities or any bands try to talk to like their fans or something like that. Maybe it was like gang.
Hey gang.
No, it wasn't. Probably wasn't. Hey gang. There was always like something weird like that.
Something weird with the gang?
Something new with the gang. It's all good to me.
So that's what the bands, how they greet their fans?
No, but there was a word. Now I'm forgetting what the word actually is.
Little monsters? Isn't that what Lady Gaga calls her fans?
Does she really call her fans like little monsters?
Yeah, monsters.
Why?
She has a little monsters tat, I think.
That really...
Yeah, that's her like, you know, pet name for her fans.
Are you guys fans of like Lady Gaga at all?
I don't know. I enjoy her outfits.
You enjoy her outfits?
I think she's kind of an interesting, you know, pop persona, but I wouldn't say I was a fan per se.
When was the first time like you ever heard of Lady Gaga?
Just when everyone else did. Oh, actually, no, that's not true. The first time I ever heard of her was like someone was accusing like Christina Aguilera or whatever, Xtina of like
Xtina.
Yeah, Xtina of like copping Lady Gaga style. They were like, oh, Xtina, yeah, she really likes Lady Gaga or whatever. Yeah,
whose side did you take on that one?
I'm not an Xtina fan. I would say I'm more Lady Gaga over an Xtina. But,
whose side do you take on that, Carolyn?
Wait, is Xtina like the persona of her stripped persona? Or just Christina Aguilera overall?
I
think it's just Christina Aguilera. I think it's just, you know, her, like... her paparazzi nickname or something.
Because I always thought that, I could be wrong, but I always thought that the Xtina name was only during her stripped album. Like when she was all like...
Oh, when she was like...
She's all like, I'm
slutty.
Skanky.
Even though... When she's dirty.
Dirty era. See, I thought that Xtina always was with the dirty. Because then they kind of stopped calling her Xtina when her following album, Back to Basics, came out. Then, like, I noticed a lot of people not really calling her Xtina anymore. And they just called her Christina Aguilera. So I don't know like what the difference is, but I like the Christina Aguilera from Back to Basics.
That was the best one, I think.
Because that album is actually really awesome.
I really enjoyed Genie in a Bottle. That's the only song I've ever liked of hers, actually.
Are you going to watch the movie Burlesque that came out a few weeks ago?
Well, you know, maybe, because I love Cher. I think she's
really
hilarious.
Wait, she's, you love Cher because she's hilarious?
Yes. I mean, I don't know. Basically, that's one of the main reasons that I like anything, is that it, like, it makes me laugh.
I mean, that's a good reason, though, if you think
about
it.
Whether they intend to make me laugh or not, if they're making me laugh, I love it. So
I'm trying to find the reason why Cher makes it. What does Cher do to make you laugh? Is it because of the way she talks?
Yeah,
is it her face?
It's her hilarious voice.
Can you give me an impersonation? Can you impersonation how
she
talks?
I guess. It's
just like, hello,
everybody.
Hello, I'm Cher.
She's like, she talks like this. You know, she's got kind of like
Mr. Ed.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a sort of like a sing-song quality, but then it's sort of like really bass or something. It's really odd. I just enjoy her and her like weird like plastic surgerized face.
Yeah.
She's just such
her face is like a mask.
She's like a drag queen. She's just like fierce, you know. She'll like fuck you up like, I don't know. Oh, sorry. I don't know if we're allowed to curse.
No, you can curse all day long.
You can curse. Okay. Our show is explicit.
We just try not to. We personally, there's a lot of shows where we just cursed a whole lot, or we said a lot more vulgar things than that.
Okay.
So we're now...
Yeah, we had a show called The N-Word.
So,
oh my god.
So now what we do is we sort of just... when we're gonna curse, we can really curse. Okay, like, we make it a curse.
Okay.
Because, you know, these...
But that was so natural the way it came out.
Yeah, that's a good... That's a good that's a real good
one. It wasn't
like
you,
you know,
you weren't even trying.
Yeah, that's like, you know, you're... That was like, it's like you saying the. It's like, that's... You're like, well, fuck, you know what I mean? Whatever.
I drop the F-bomb regularly.
On a daily basis.
Yeah, basically. Even to my parents now, I have, like, no shame about it.
Your parents, like, get upset about it, or they just kind of roll with it?
They really don't care. I mean, they don't seem to care.
Do you know the one was the first time you ever cursed? or even better yet, where you learned it from?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think just from, like, the general culture. And also my dad. I mean, I guess my parents, like, my mom doesn't really cuss at all. She's, like, very well-behaved, you know. But my dad, kind of like a loose cannon, so he's he's cussing all day or something. So I guess I
like a
learned
sailor,
it from
is
him.
It? Like a sailor?
Yeah, like a merchant marine. He's just, you know, he's kind of foul-mouthed, so maybe I learned it from him, but probably just more likely just with the movies or something. I don't know, who knows.
I feel like cursing is one of those things these days that, like, it's sort of impossible to hold down. Like, even with television, like, you get away with so many words on TV. Now they're like, you can't say shit. I was like, well, you can say shit, but, like, in the specific word, you know, there's all these rules. Mm-hmm. It's like, you...
Well, were we watching some, like, roast of someone the other day, and they had, like, all these curse words being blimped out?
Yeah, then they
And then they had, like, the F word for...
No, you can just say it.
I don't know. They had this faggot.
It goes like bleep bleep.
It goes bleep bleep faggot.
I was like, what? So it's okay. I feel like that's the most painful word to say up there. Is
yeah,
the word
I've never heard that word on TV before.
Yeah, I don't. Hardly any people even use that word. Like, I haven't even heard that word in like years.
What, faggot?
Yeah.
What, we heard it from when we were at the holiday heist. That teenage girl that was about to, that was saying how smart she is. I'm like, I'm gonna get a great job. And then she's all like, well, you know, I don't like this faggot. And I was like, whoa. She just all of a sudden break out.
That girl was a, I don't know, man.
I feel the word faggot, that to me, like, you can say fuck, shit, you know, whatever. What are the other
say
words?
All.
Yeah, but like, you get to, there's no way of saying faggot like in a nice. There's no, that's made the hurt.
What about the N-word?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, people have switched, you've changed the N-word now. You know, they've morphed the N-word into something that's powerful.
Because I saw this,
They're all
I
like,
guess,
nigga,
I don't know if it's a documentary, but I saw this film. It's called, what is it called? Something and Be Bold. Proceed and Be Bold.
Hmm.
And it's all about this guy who's like this, it's like this black dude that lives in the South, and he's a letterpress printer. And he went from like a really good job I believe it was AT&T. He had like, you know, a solid good job, got paid a lot of money, and he like left it all just to be a letterpress printer. And I think he makes like $9,000 a year or something like that.
Yeah.
And he like chose to live that lifestyle because like, you know, he didn't have to. He chose to go that route. And like, basically, it was interesting because he has these things called nappygrams. And he like sends them out, and it's basically like, it has like a lot of curse words and stuff, and even like says like, you know, whatever, nigger and stuff like that. And like,
whoa.
is he a black guy?
Huh?
Is he a black guy?
Yeah, he's black.
All right, okay. Yeah. I was gonna be like, I thought I was
clear about that.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. If I wasn't clear about this, is a black guy that lives in the South.
Okay. I feel much better about this.
Anyway.
You're like,
anyway,
this guy is using
but
nappy.
He sends out this thing called nappygram, and then like for the school, he had this big case about it because at the school like they're having the affirmative action, and he sent out a nappygram that said affirmative action is a joke, because they were hiring like teachers that weren't white.
Yeah.
And like they basically, people were accusing them of like saying like, oh well, you're only hired because you're black or whatever, or you're Hispanic or whatever. And in, like, reality, they were, like, saying, well, in reality, like, they deserve that job. Like, they're there for a reason, you know?
Right.
And, but that's why he said affirmative action is a joke. And when they sent it out to, like, all the higher-ups in the school, like, they thought that that was a targeted, like something bad was going to happen or something to them. And so,
a weird threat or something.
Yeah, like a threat. And he was, like, and then he was even, like, they filmed him, like, talking to police. And he was, like, well, where does it say that that's a threat? It's like, there's no threat, like, on that actual postcard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is kind of confusing. I think it's not clear what the message is right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I think he could have, like, put a finer point on the thing or something.
I mean, he definitely was trying to push buttons.
Okay.
But basically, it's like this guy, and, you know, he uses letterpress as his art to, like, say stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of his other cards that he did said something like, coffee is best when it's black or something like that. You know, like he has like little like points like that. It's kind of interesting because it's like the film is interesting because it's like it's more than just like letterpress. Like at first you think it's just like this guy who chose to go this way, but it's like a lot more into the racial issues. So that was pretty cool to watch.
That is cool. I mean, it's I'm intrigued. I love a good documentary about like a weirdo or something.
Yeah,
I love like weirdo documentaries.
He's definitely like one of those.
It's
has like the design perspective.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah,
or I forget the whole coffee thing though, because like, it said something like, or if you drink too much coffee, be careful, you'll be black or something like that.
What? Like, okay, so basically he's like.
That's awesome. I don't know about you, but that's hilarious.
I thought that all of his sayings were awesome though, because like, you know, I guess.
So everything he says has something to do with being black, basically.
A lot of it does, not all of it, but I'd say like 80% of it like has to do with the black culture.
So you know, it's funny because like the Asian culture can't really do that. I think it's just more funny when it is the black culture.
Maybe.
That sounds awesome, but like it's sort of like I can't. Well, I guess because there's Asian is more than just one shade though, isn't it?
There's tons of Asians.
You have like what, yellow, even some. I'm more of a brownish red.
You're a red Asian.
I've never heard that before.
Yes, I'm gonna declare you.
I'm a ready.
No, I said ready with a U, ready. By which I mean just tan. Tan, actually.
You're just tan.
I'm just merely tan. I'm tan too. I'm a Latina, everybody.
That means that I'm the minority.
That's right.
True. Trying to keep the white woman down here.
That's right. You gotta keep them in line.
Guess what? New boss here. New people in charge. No, just JK. I don't care.
Do you know the last time that I think we hung out was we were in New York together and we were riding in the car and we were like looking at Hasidic Jews.
Wait, like you're just staring at them?
Just sitting there staring.
You're like, there's
because,
one.
Because like I never really saw them before, and then it was like, you know, it was like a thing. Like it was like a whole neighborhood full of them, and like, I never really saw them until I went to B&H.
Yeah, it's almost like seeing Amish people for the first time. And you're just like, what?
I know,
you didn't know they were real.
I would get confused and think that they were Amish. Like I'd be like, are those people Amish?
Because like, I mean, you know, that's their way of life. I'm not trying to insult it at all. It's just that it's definitely like you don't see that every day. Like I actually have never seen Hasidic Jews outside of New York City.
Now, do you guys know a lot about them? Like, do you know like what the whole culture is? Because I'm not really even sure what the culture is. Like, do they have to dress like with the top? Do they wear top hats? Is that what they wear?
A lot of them do.
Yeah, they do have a special, you know, way of dressing, and they do have to adhere to this style of dress. And I learned this recently, but apparently, like, the girls, okay, like, the women, like, they all have the same kind of hairstyle, right? It's sort of like a page boy sort of bob.
Yeah.
Like, kind of shoulder length. And I always was, like, amazed at how uniform it was and whatever, and I found out just, like, from somebody I knew that, in fact, they all wear wigs. That's, like, why their hair...
That's not even the real hair?
Yeah, it's all... They all wear, like, the same wig or something because they're not allowed to show their hair. It's sort of, like...
Oh, wow, I didn't know.
Yeah, so instead they wear wigs, which I think is hilarious because it's, like... It's just some other hair.
Yeah, like, what's the point of that?
That's funny.
It just made me laugh. I like it.
It's funny because when I think about that, it's almost like the, you know, with the Muslims or something where they have to cover up.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's almost the same exact thing, except it's like with just a different look.
They just can't show their real hair. Yeah. They can show their fake hair.
Yes.
They're like, we don't want to cover it all up. We want to imagine you as someone else.
Exactly.
That's basically all it's doing. I'm not saying it's anything bad. I find that very, like... Interesting.
I always think it's like whenever
it's like they have this ideal woman. They want it.
Or whenever like I go into B&H and I look at those guys,
like
I'm always
you go
like
all the time. It's awesome.
Yeah, like I like think about them like getting up in the morning and like turning on their curling iron and stuff.
Is that does it get like uncurled throughout the day or?
I don't know, but like you'd think you'd have to curl it every day.
I do believe there's like a curling iron involved because it is such a precise curl, you know.
Exactly, and they can't be natural.
No.
Like, I mean, maybe it is for some of them, but like, you know, maybe they don't have to do it every day. Like, maybe the curl could still stay if they like didn't
so
wash
that's,
it.
That's like but... equivalent to when like, you know, like punk rock kids when they have to like wake up and then. They ought to be independent and hardcore, but then they still put on this makeup and then they put on their mohawk and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everyone has something that's
Because, like, I mean, at least with me, whenever I curl my... I'm like, my hair is kind of naturally curly, but, like, if I was to do the Hasidic Jew style, like, I would have to use, like a curling iron.
Would it be, like, insulting if I try to do that style?
Yes, it would be very...
But what is it? What's curled? Is it, like, the sideburn part that's, like, longer?
Yeah, it's just your kind of sideburn equivalent or whatever. It just hangs.
I don't think it is the actual hair of the sideburn, though.
Or is that real?
No, it's
the hair that's near the ear.
How do we know that's real? That could be a wig too, right?
I think it's their real hair. Unless they have like buzz cut wigs or something. Because they have pretty short hair besides, you know. It's like usually they have like the curls and then their hair is pretty short.
I just think of, like, the process. Like, last time I went into B&H, I just, like, you know...
It's like, this is the only place they are is in B&H or something like that.
Yeah, because that was the first time I went in there, and I'm like, oh my god, they exist.
You're like, there they are.
Well, there they are.
It's probably the most public place that they're at, you know, especially in Manhattan. I think it's like everyone knows that there's going to be the Hasidim there.
Yeah, and then when we went to Brooklyn, we saw that one neighborhood, and there's like a whole bunch of them, and I was like, oh my god, they're there. And then I saw like kids and stuff.
This sounds like equivalent to like if we were like in like a safari and we're like riding around, like, wow, this is where all they migrate.
Yeah, it is kind of exotic, and you know, there's more than a couple neighborhoods where they live in Brooklyn. It's mostly Brooklyn where they live, but they live in like a part of Williamsburg, which is kind of like this hipster area.
Yeah,
whatever.
Is it?
And yeah, it's pretty hipster, but like they had a sort of like a culture conflict because I guess there was like a bike lane that like went through this neighborhood, mm-hmm. and you know, they're very like conservative and they're very like modest about their bodies.
Yeah,
and they were just so outraged that these like hipster hoes or whatever like, were like riding by on their like short skirts and
hipster
their bikes.
Hoes.
Yeah, they
I always
like
wondered
average.
About that. They're wearing a short skirt and they're riding bikes. That seems like just like, you know,
they're
a little world.
Britney-ize it.
Well, you know, I mean, I've ridden bikes with a skirt on or something. I mean, I don't think that these people are like.
I'm not saying I'm against
modest.
It.
But you know, I just think that they being so conservative are just like outraged by even the idea or something. So there was like a big to do about like these bike lanes, if they should remove them or like.
So what happened?
In the end, I think they did remove them. They just had like a stronger lobby or something, and maybe they probably like have been in the area like longer than the hipsters.
What?
They probably had more money.
What is that called? Getting rid of a bike
know.
Lane.
It's a tough call.
Is that just like painting
just painted
over the line?
Painted over like, them.
It took us 2 weeks to paint it. We'll just remove it. That's fine. Biking, man. Biking's pretty big. I feel like I'm being left behind because a lot of people are doing lots of biking now. Like, I see that everywhere. Is it fun?
It's kind of like a city phenomenon.
What am I missing with the biking?
It's just a really easy way to get around. You know, when I lived in D.C., like, I would use my bike a little more than I do now that I live in Brooklyn, just because I'm just, like, kind of more afraid of, like, the Brooklyn traffic, frankly.
Is it pretty vicious?
Yeah, people really speed, and it can be rough, you know? I mean, I'm, like, a little frightened, a little more
living
frightened
on
up
the
there.
Streets.
I mean, like, I would understand, you know what I mean?
Yeah, people are reckless there, you know, very reckless. They, like, blow through stop signs and stuff. You know, people get hit all the time, like, just pedestrians.
Just
slaughtered in the street, you know? Like, basically. It's dangerous.
The key word is slaughtered in the street, man.
Just, like, squirrels.
That's basically what it is.
So what's up with the hipsters now? We always hear
hipsters,
that term.
Hipsters.
Well, first, let's describe. What, in your eyes, what is a hipster?
Okay.
So people at home.
This is a very controversial topic. I know everyone.
Is it really?
It's huge. It's blowing up right now.
Yeah, I hear about it all the time.
Like what really is a hipster and what's not.
Yeah,
or,
yes. Everyone's got something to say. Everyone's got 2 cents about
we
it.
We need all to right. know your 2 cents.
We'll get your perspective and then we'll get Carolyn's perspective because mine is always going to be just like wrong.
No, I mean, I think everyone's point of view is valid about this. It's a complicated issue, you know?
I mean wrong by offensive.
Okay, oh, I see. As in, it should not be.
Thou shalt not be mentioned. But yeah, so what is... So in your eyes, define today's hipster.
Today's hipster. Well, the thing is, like, okay, I guess what I mean by a hipster neighborhood, just to kind of be clear about it, is like you walk into this neighborhood, this Williamsburg or whatever, you get off the Bedford stop on the L train.
And this is only Williamsburg?
There's other neighborhoods, but this is kind of like hipster central, I think everyone agrees. And you look around and you see youngish people like whatever, from teens, whatever, college kids, to like well into their like 40s. Like, you can be an old hipster.
Old, like you can be like hipster.
Any age. You can be almost any age to be a hipster, except for, you know, probably the oldest hipsters like pushing 50 by now or something. At
they're
some
like
point,
vintage hipster.
Yeah, they're he's like so
the,
vintage.
He's the old wise hipster.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
He tells the stories of when it was hip back in the 60s, the 40s.
He's like, we used to have the sock cop.
You don't know what hip is now.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you about our glasses back in the day. There were some frames, all right. But yeah, like, no, you know, it's like, it's a sort of a recent phenomenon, I would say, like the hipster as we now know it. You look around, you see these people, they're wearing kind of like, you know, like a particular style of clothing. I would say it was defined by a style of clothing that's kind of like favors kind of like accessorizing, sort of like mix and matching, unusual sort of combinations, but unusual in a very uniform way. Yeah. As you look around, a lot of people are rocking a similar style.
Like, can you name like sort of like a celebrity to people visualize? Okay. And be like, that's the closest thing I can.
Okay, well, you know, you could say, to bring it back, to a Jason Schwartzman.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, that is a hipster.
But
that
he's like, so he's all like California West Coast, isn't he?
Yeah,
I guess that could be
hipster. He's pretty hipstery. He's pretty. As for a girl, I would say like a Natalie Portman. That's like a hipster girl.
Oh, okay.
You know, people that are like trying to be a little funky, a little sophisticated or whatever.
But
they're trying to be like, oh, like they're a little, it's a bit of a cultural elitism, I would say.
Ah, okay.
Which I don't even know.
But it's not like colors or something, is it?
What?
It's not usually like, oh, we wear really tight black pants type deal, or is it like a
I wouldn't
sports
say so.
Coat?
You know, and within the hipster,
there's different
whatever.
Definitions within the hipster.
Yeah, within the hipster, yeah, there's subdivisions. There's subdivisions. So I would say hipsters at large is like a broad topic. But then within that, there's you know, little tribes and stuff, and
like the Strokes yeah. tribe is like the
is it the Strokes? Is that like a hipster tribe?
That's the black pants.
Or the tight pants. We're looking like the 80s pop sunglasses during night.
There's a bunch, you know. You guys should refer to the hipster handbook. It's instructive. It's instructive. It's sort of like a field guide to the. It's a little old now. I think it came out in like 2002 or something, but. It's very instructive still, and the illustrations are really fun, and it kind of gives you like a guide to like the different varieties, which are now kind of different even from like then, but it's kind of like gives you sort of like a history and stuff. And
is there ever like hipster like gang warfare type deal? Like something where it's you, like two of the same tribes show up at the same party?
Yeah, and they have like dance wars.
Like, or they have like silence wars, or they just stay looking
brooding
at each other.
Wars.
Like, I'm more emo than you.
Have you ever been to like a hipster party? Is that a thing that you can do?
You know the thing
that
about
you do? Sorry.
Like, you know, I guess, you know, the thing about being a hipster is it's almost like Fight Club. It's like nobody
talks about
nobody
it.
Wants to nobody will say that they're a hipster. You know what I mean? To say that you're a hipster is like suspicious to a hipster. You know what I mean? It's like, oh,
a real punk doesn't
you know
say
what I mean?
Punk.
Exactly. It's just like, oh, so you're a hipster, huh? It's just there's a lot of like derision in the culture, even for oneself. So it's weird, even though everyone is obviously a hipster. Perhaps I too am a hipster. No one's going to say it. No one's going to say it.
I remember.
Perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps it's controversial.
One time we were walking around in Brooklyn with my friend John Paul Cokes, who lived, I think, off of that. I forget what stop he lived.
Yeah, he lived there.
But I remember we were walking to get food, right? And like the way he spoke about hipsters.
Actually, Nadia met him.
Oh yeah,
now that
did,
I think about it.
That one time, a year ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And we were walking to get food. This is like before then, I think, around February. But he would speak about hipsters like it's like an animal that you should watch out for.
Exactly. Like they're like,
watch
oh,
out.
I don't want to go to that bar. Yeah. There's tons of hipsters
you watch
there.
Out. There's hipsters over there.
Like 100% like that person is a hipster. If someone says that, they're a hipster. I think 100%.
Wait, if they say you got to watch out for them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how you know.
Like at this point, I'm like, what is the point of this?
It's really weird.
So John Paul's a hipster? That's awesome.
Yeah.
He does look like a hipster.
Yeah, he's a hipster. If someone looks like hipster, they're a hipster. That's like what, that's my definition.
So, do they have to wear glasses?
It helps.
It helps?
The cool frames.
Yeah.
Now, so, we're, were there only this level of hipster? Like, because you lived, like, you went to VCU in Richmond. Is there a hipster there as well?
Yeah, I would say so.
There's a, it's like a Richmond, like, scene.
Yeah.
Look, but
no, yeah, I would say, yeah, in Richmond, that is more kind of like a scenester.
Mm-hmm.
I think the applicable word.
There. What about in DC though? When you're in DC,
I think New York is that just more such just like a larger place, so like you can have the like subcategories.
Sure.
Where in Richmond is like basically, it's hard to even say Richmond is a city because it's so small. Like pretty much you know everybody. If you're in the scene, if you're a scenester in Richmond, you know everyone else who's in the scene.
Yeah.
Whereas
it's just
like
a big party club.
Yeah.
I'd love to be known as just the guy that calls himself a hipster.
That just seems like, and you're like the official hipster.
That'd be awesome. I'll probably get like a
the hipster speaks. You'll like speak for everyone.
He has arrived.
But like New York might be like so broken down into like the different groups that like no one wants to actually say that they're a hipster. You know, like or it's like they dress like so cool that they like put so much effort into like looking cool, but yet it looks like they didn't put any effort at all.
It's like
and that's like the point.
It's just this huge reverse psychology like life status thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's weird.
I love it. Know. Was that something that when you first moved into New York that people were like, "Alright, you gotta beware of this. There's gonna be these kids are pretty hip." These are pretty hip kids there.
I don't know. Honestly, like, you know, I personally just stay away from, like, shallow people.
So the they're all shallow?
Hipsters are not. You can have shallow hipsters, but you can have deep hipsters, too. There's every kind of hipster, also. Within the hipster world,
it's making me think that, like,
hipster.
Everyone who lives in Williamsburg is a hipster.
Yes. Like, yes.
But they do migrate outside,
but they're,
right?
But they're like different segments of the hipster, but they're all
exactly.
hipsters.
I do,
but they all deny it.
I do assume that these hipsters also go other places, or do they just stay on this one section?
They're like
you need a card to get in.
Like, yeah, they have like electronic collars or something. It's like hipsters must for me. No, they're like, in fact, my neighborhood, you could say, is an even hipper neighborhood because it's up and coming and nobody wants anyone to know about it. So you could say it's almost the ultimate hipster neighborhood where I live, which is Bushwick, which is like the cheaper version of Williamsburg. It's like Williamsburg like 20 years ago.
So you're on the up and up.
Yeah.
20 years from now, you're going to be like, then you're going to be like the mainstream hipster.
I know. Yeah, by then I will have sold out. Yeah,
it's crazy because I never would have imagined sort of like Natalie Portman as like a hipster, but I guess
yeah, she even dated a guy from a band like Devendra Banhart. She was dating that guy,
and he's a hipster.
He is a hipster. Anyone who's in a band that's a hipster band is
the band
definitely
especially.
A hipster.
What type of music does hipster band make?
It's
is it hardcore
of,
or is it like
it's all kinds of music, but a lot of it has to do with sounding somewhat like the Animal Collective and employing a lot of keyboards and two drum. If your band has two drummers, then that's
what?
A hipster band for
what?
Sure.
That's awesome.
If there's like weird instruments, that's a hipster band. I mean, there's
so like
a
the
lot
yeah yeah yes or something like that.
That's a hipster band. That's an old school hipster
yeah,
band.
Yeah, that brought it
that's
back.
It's like the vintage.
Yeah.
The older ones would like that.
So where do you see that this, where do you see the hipsters going? If you can imagine like where it's been in the past 5 years
okay.
since that book came out,
uh-huh.
how
sure.
can you envision where it's going to be, say, in 5 years from now?
Well.
Are glasses still going to be in? Are they going to be wearing black?
Well, I feel like even from when I became aware of hipster culture in the first place, which was like college, I feel like even from then, it's like evolved in a kind of a positive way. I feel like people used to be more like negative, like people used to just like hate all the time. And I feel like now people are a little over it. People are into encouraging each other and like being sincere and like genuinely like happy and
that's good.
Not like miserable and like just hating on stuff.
That would be the worst if they're all just like just a bunch of buzzkill people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, you think that's awesome, huh? Or whatever. Like, that was totally the attitude before, I feel like. And I think it's just going to continue. I feel like the best thing about hipster culture is people are dedicated to creating things. There's a lot of people that are like do-it-yourselfers, musicians, whatever, illustrators, all kinds of creative people, and I think that's its strength.
That's cool.
And hope it continues on in that way. And
I like the DIY.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Awesome.
I like the DIY to a point.
And then you want to have other people do it for you.
Is there a phrase where I can, like, or a letter, in a group of letters I can make that sound cool, like the to have someone else do my work?
I don't know.
Can it just
know.
Be called You Do It?
Yeah. Y-D-I?
It's called You Do
it's
It.
It's P-S-E, like pay someone else. Like pay.
So overall, your New York experience seems pretty positive at this point, though.
It's okay. I had a difficult job experience, but, you know, the people I've met are really awesome, and, you know, like, I have a lot of friends who came from Richmond who lived there or whatever, so it's been fun to, like, experience the place with people I kind of already knew and then make new friends along the way.
Now, on the other hand, Carolyn, what is your perspective on the hipster nation?
Well, honestly, I think Nadia covered most of it, and she has, like, the inside scoop, because I only go to New York for, like, I don't know how long, a year, but, like, you know, not nearly as long as living in New York. But I basically go up to New York for New York Comic Con and maybe some other stuff. And I went up to see that Tim Burton exhibit last December. So I don't really have, like, the whole, like, experience from living there. So it's more like I'm just seeing and hearing about the hipsters.
It's okay. But, I mean, I think that valid. Everyone's point of view is valid. Even from an outsider point of view, I think that's interesting because we live the, I guess, the hipster lifestyle or something. I, like, see all these people every day, and it's interesting to see.
I just think it's, like, kind of funny that everyone from New York is pretty much a hipster, but then they all, like, deny it. Like, yeah, but then they're all like, oh, no,
well, see,
I'm
if
not
you
a
can't,
hipster.
You can't admit it or else you're not one, right?
Yeah.
Like, see, it, like, to me, like, that contradiction is interesting, but it's kind of weird. Like,
it's,
you know?
Weird. It's super weird.
It's either, like, but then, you know, like, why can't anyone just be like, hey, yeah, I'm a hipster? Like, you need to have that person.
It doesn't really sound as cool unless I say it.
It doesn't sound cool at all, though. You know, like...
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, derisive, you know? It doesn't sound like something that I'd sign up to be, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you want to join the hipsters?
Like hipster. It just sounds like you just you know...
Or
you
like
just,
you're trying too hard to be cool,
yeah,
or fit in.
Yeah, or you like, whatever, someone told you how to be hip and you're like, oh, this is how I'm being hip now, or something. You know, it doesn't sound too authentic, but...
Or because, like, remember when, like, emo, everyone's like, I'm emo, I'm so emo. And like,
wait,
Dashboard Confessional.
Was there specifically a time where someone was like, I'm emo?
Yes!
Well, emo was more kind of like less... It was kind of like a term that emo people used.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's like hipster was never a term like originated
that they
want,
that they that they coined.
Can you guys describe what an emo person is?
Someone who listens to Dashboard Confessional. Who's all like...
No one listens,
like,
to Dashboard Confessional.
They're into, like, the music, and they're all like, man, I'm so emotional about things. And like,
do they
like,
dress a
like,
certain way?
Like
or
Eli.
They just wear jeans and a shirt?
I mean, they might wear normal clothes or a hoodie or something and, like, you know, be all, like... There's, like, different types of emo, again, the subculture within the subculture. Like, there's probably, like, a dark side of emo that wears
the
a lot
dark
of,
side of emo. That sounds awesome.
That, like, maybe cuts themselves and wears a lot of black and stuff. Like, it's kind of, like, a new version of, like... I don't know. Like, a new version of, like...
Goth?
No,
not can't
like
be goth.
Like the Cure type thing, but like a new version of like the Cure, you know, like 10
yeah.
years later.
Yeah.
So I always found
but they're, I guess, a little bit more happy, but they're still kind of like, I want to be on the dark side. I'm
right.
So mysterious.
Like cry and whatever. Like, sit in a dark room, brood and stuff.
Yeah. And then like, then there's like another side of like emo that's like a little bit more peppy that's like, I'm just emotional about things, you know, and like...
I don't understand that,
they're not
like,
as dark, though.
But you have to be emotional about anything, though, right?
Yeah, but they, like, show it more. You know, like, they wear their heart on the sleeve.
Because then there's, like, emo hardcore and stuff like that.
That's true, there is.
That is true. Yeah, there were even subdivisions within emo. In fact, I remember.
But yeah. I think emo's, like, on its way down and, like, hipster's on its way up. Like, maybe in New York it's kind of, like, plateaued. But I think hipster's, like, coming out of New York now. And now it's, like, becoming a larger thing.
Yeah, maybe, you know. It's interesting because, like, the thing about New York is you see a lot of people from, like, Europe and stuff and, like, just everywhere. Like, different countries. and they all just dress exactly the same way.
Yeah.
It's like it's like an international culture. It's kind of like amazing to me. I'm just like, what? You're like, it's not like, from here. It's like, it's really cool. It's kind of cool, I think.
It's like, I can't tell the difference between anybody. We're all united.
Yeah, I mean, some people are afraid of that kind of like, you know, weird monoculture or whatever, but I think it's kind of cool that people can like relate about like a type of music or whatever, or, like, you know, like across cultures. Like, I think that's pretty neat.
Well, in general, like, I think in general most people dress the same anyway, like usually.
What?
No, because like, for example, like, you know, like Michael Jackson's video of like Heal the World or something, like you see like a Mexican with sombrero and like that whole like,
but that
like,
is such a literal thing. Interpretation.
Yes, the literal interpretation of like a country's like traditional garb, you know, like, or you see like I don't know. You see, like, people in, like, Antarctica or something, like, with their whole, like...
With the igloos and the
igloo and, like, their dog and, like, a sleigh dog and, like, the Iditarod and stuff. Like, you see all those people, but in reality, like, most people just wear, like, regular pants, jeans, and a shirt type thing.
I beg to differ.
Or in Africa, like, I mean, there are, like, some... like tribes and stuff still there, but like then you always see African people wearing like a Coca-Cola shirt and like jeans.
I love that, man. I love being like able to see sponsorship all over the world.
And they probably never even had a Coca-Cola yet, you know. Unless, like, isn't there a movie about something about Coca-Cola drops from the sky? And then, like, all these African people are like, what is it? It's God.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Wait, God's must be crazy or something.
Wait, I haven't seen this at all. What is this about?
I haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it, but I know that there's, like, a Coke bottle drops from the sky.
Yeah.
And, like, all these African people are like, oh, it's from God or something.
Man.
It's Coca-Cola.
Way to go, Coca-Cola. Making yourself out to be like God there.
I know Coca-Cola is, like, taking over the world. Like, even with Santa Claus, speaking of the holidays coming up, like... like the traditional Santa, like Santa actually like is different in every culture, but then like it's kind of like Americanized now because of Coke, like with the red suit and stuff. So it was all done by like some illustrators back in the day, like early advertising. Mm-hmm. So
because it was green before, right?
I think in different countries it was different colors. Like I've seen green Santa Clauses, I've seen blue suit Santa Claus. I've seen a whole bunch of different ones, and even like some of their suits look more like a dress, like it's a long coat, mm-hmm. or like a pointed hat one. Like I've seen all different types of Santas, but like the one that we're familiar with, the Coca-Cola Santa, like the traditional American Santa, that's all from Coke.
I love Coke. That is the best drink ever. I think. I don't know about you guys.
But yeah, like they're infiltrating the world sometimes. And
like the giving... not like zero, not like diet. I love like just the pure unadulterated Coke.
Classic Coke.
How are you? How do you feel about like the American versus like the Mexican version, or you know, like the cane sugar versus the corn syrup or whatever?
Because I haven't had the Mexican version of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, these real sugar or whatever.
The sugar cane? To me, like, I like it just like I like my, like, I need my food to be, like, spicy.
Okay.
So I like things that are, like, really sweet, too. So if it's sweeter, I'll probably like it a whole lot.
We need to, like, embezzle some of that. Because
that's always what hurt me about, like, diet drinks and stuff like that. Like, I'd drink it and I'd feel like I was ripped off. I'm losing something here.
I can't stand those diet drinks. I think there's like something. What is that chemical that has like the diet stuff, like the
aspartame?
Yeah, like I think I'm like allergic to that or something.
Is that really what they put in there?
I don't know. Like something, like whatever it is, like my stomach can instantly tell, like within a sip or two, like I'm like ugh, like it just
nasty.
I think like something, like it makes my stomach like so irritated, and like I basically can't drink any diet stuff. So, I could, but like I don't really want to.
So it's not
worth it.
Is there like a lot of like Nadi, do you have a drink that you're just like you must have? Or are you like solely coffee? Do you love coffee or something?
I don't know. I'm not really a beverage type of person per se, but I do love Guinness. I love beer. I love beer, actually. I would say that I do love beer.
What is about beer that you like the most? That you just like, oh.
Well, there's all kinds, first of all. There's just all kinds. There's every single kind. You can have, like, low alcohol content, high. You know, it can taste like a delicious, like, frothy milkshake. It can be, like, a light, you know, some sort of like summertime drink. There's flavors. I don't know. It's just like the incredible variety, and also it makes you kind of tipsy. It's fun. It's just a fun drink. I like it.
I like your description of that. See, for me, I need like those. Like, I don't know if it sounds weird, but I do like really, really sweet things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why anything sort of in that world of like even like the classic Coke. And I'm always going to vouch for right now, like the new 7-Up. Like,
oh,
the
yeah?
natural 7-Up is the freaking best thing. Like, I'll puts all it that serum. It puts Sierra Mist and Sprite to shame.
Huh.
I want them to sponsor this show. I love that drink so much. That's just how I am. Is there any like food places like in New York that you constantly like eat at?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of places that I enjoy, but I will recommend there is a taco place right near my house that's pretty awesome.
What's it called?
It's called Tortilleria, like Tres Hermanos, I think. Or maybe it's just Tortilleria Hermanos, I think.
You're going to get like free food when they listen to this show. They're going to be like, oh my God, you just promoted us like crazy.
Yeah, right. They're going to be like, what? What's the internet?
Like, what's the internet? That's
yeah,
awesome.
They're kind of old school, you know. They're like, you know, doing it the old fashioned way.
No computers.
No. It's like a tortilla factory, actually. It's like a small tortilla factory, but they also sell tacos.
Ooh.
And actually, it's kind of interesting, speaking whatever, referring back to the hipster conversation, because it was a totally, like, a Mexican place. Like, it's owned by Mexican people.
Like, real Mexican people.
Yes. Because where I live in, yes, not the fake Mexican.
Not
for
fakes.
Real. Yeah. Because Bushwick is, there's a lot of hipsters. There's also a lot of Mexican people. There's a lot of Hispanics in general, but especially Mexican people. And so it was continues to be a Mexican-owned place. But anytime you go there, it's, like, overtaken by hipsters. Like, people just, like, love eating there.
I want to eat there.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very
good.
Like stewed, like delicious meat, like all, you know, chicken, like beef, whatever, your pork enchilada.
And
or
it's
whatever.
A tortilla shell factory, but then they make their own like taco.
Yeah. Yeah. They like, you know, stamp out the tortillas in the back and they serve up a taco. It's pretty good. It's cheap. And I recommend it. I like, you know, kind of everyday food. I'm not too fancy pants. I don't know. I like to get disappointed easily by fancy restaurants.
Oh, really? It's because the serving size?
The serving size? Kind of. I mean, I like to feel full, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, I enjoy eating, and sometimes I just feel like it's a little too precious. Like, I just want food to be delicious. I don't want this, like, whatever, novelty ingredients.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be put onto a square plate and, like, just sprinkled with color. I want
weird,
it just in
know?
A bowl mixed together. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm sort of that vein. I'm kind of like a down-home eater or something.
I mean, but if it tastes good, there's nothing wrong with it. That's what I didn't like about the smaller portions. It's like, well, it tastes good, but you didn't give me enough. I want more. That's usually how it is.
I know. I feel like a rube saying it, but...
No way!
And I mean, I love food. I watch like Top Chef.
Do you watch like Diners, Drives, and Dine-Ins? Or was that what that's called?
Diners, yeah. Drive-In, and Dives.
Diners, Dives. With Guy Fieri.
Yes.
That's like my, I love that. Like whenever I watch that, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to make that. I'm going to make that with my bare hands, dude.
Make that with my brain.
I
don't even need the ingredients.
Maybe one day I'll be hip enough to be a hipster. I don't think so.
Do they read
comics?
You can never say that you are.
Do they read comics?
Hipsters definitely read comics.
Oh man, maybe secretly I am a hipster.
I think
I don't like to think of it.
I think you guys qualify.
Oh my gosh. And then we're like insulted that we are. We're like,
and
no,
I
feel
like,
oh,
you call it a hipster.
I don't want to be part of a group that wants me. That's
no
how I
way.
Think about life anyway.
You know, yeah. Oh, is it different? Oh, sorry, I thought that was like the ending music.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, you guys are doing it all. You guys do the show. You guys do comics. You're a musician. You do video.
But I bet there's some...
your output.
There's some people out there that's going to be like, no, that's not enough, guys. That is not enough.
You're not hipster enough
you're like,
to be hipster.
Let me see your shoes.
Yeah.
Like, what are you wearing?
Do you think Joe's glasses are hipster?
I hope so.
Yeah. Not the hipster-est, but they are. I
always aim to be. Man. I always
you
aim
find
to
out
be.
That we're hipsters at the end of the show.
Yeah. Well, that's the goal. We always try to be hip. Well, there's another show, guys. I enjoyed it a lot. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn. And thank you, Nadia.
You're welcome.
This has been
Nadia.
A presentation of Nadia. Yes.
Everyone have a good night. See you later, Carolyn.
Good night. Gallons of the stuff I gave you, all that you can drink, and it has never been enough. I gave you blood, blood.